The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
The resources industry here in WA has never been more important to the country's economy than right now. And 2,000 k's north of Perth is an iron ore mine that's breaking new ground. Joining me from Pragma Lawyers is our good mate Aaron McDonald. Aaron, tell us a little bit about this project that you've been working on up north.
Oh, it's taken me about 4 years, Jenna, but it's one of the highest grade iron ore projects in the world on Cockatoo Island, just off the coast of Broome.
Yeah.
And it's been inoperable for the last 4 or 5 years. The mine pit has been flooded with water, but it started getting mined by BHP in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about it is that the ships pull right up beside it. But in 2015, there was a company that was mining there that went into liquidation and receivership, and it's been a bit of a legal unscrambling of an egg in order to be able to find somebody to buy the mine and get it back up and operational. So it's a good news story for the state of WA. They had unpaid royalties. There was a huge environmental risk. All of that's been indemnified by the company that's bought the mine.
Mm-hmm.
All the royalties have been paid up. They're going to employ 60 to 70 people. It has significance for the traditional owners in the region, the Myala and Dambi Mangari peoples. And so they are going to benefit from mining resuming in the area as well. So it's a good news story.
Yeah, indeed. So I guess when we have new mine sites that kick off, there's a lot of EPA agreements involved. There's native title that has to be brought into it.
Yep.
Tell us about the acquisition and how all stakeholders, like you've just mentioned, the traditional custodians of the land, how are all interests negotiated when Cockatoo Island, when you kind of came back to the table?
Well, it was a question of money, to pay out a lot of people who hadn't been paid from when the mine was operating previously.
Uh-huh.
Those people needed to be paid out. But additionally, the Department of Mines was a significant stakeholder in the whole transaction, because without their approval, then they wouldn't have been able to agree to sell us the mine. So we needed to convince them that we had both the technical proficiency to mm-hmm. actually mine this resource and also the financial wherewithal in order to make sure that we're not going to be the next company that goes into liquidation as well. So we had to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We went to board meetings up in Derby with the traditional owners and made sure that we're negotiating an agreement with them that's to their benefit, and
mm-hmm.
the state departments wanted to be closely apprised of that. So it was really sort of like getting multiple stars to align all at the one time, Jenna,
yeah.
in order to make it happen.
It's so great, because I guess this is one of the first times that this has probably all happened, because everything sort of happens in retrospect when a mine is kicking off and things like that. We've seen some horrific instances up in the Pilbara in recent history of where stuff happens and goes terribly wrong by the big miners. But do you think we're going to see more of these projects kicking off because of the way this has been set up?
Absolutely. Well, I know that some of the big miners have some projects in the pipeline that will be announced soon, and this is certainly one of them. The way that the iron ore price is at the moment, I think the last check was about $128 or thereabouts. It's getting right up there, you know. So it's as you said in the introduction, you know, mining is really in Western Australia is really underwriting the Australian economy at the moment.
Mm.
That's something that the finance minister said on a repeated occasion.
Indeed. When I guess you guys were looking at the balance sheet, how much money had to be paid out before you could move forward? Give me a ballpark.
Well, it's taken tens of millions of dollars. The thing I can say is that because it's quite an environmentally sensitive area and there's a seawall that separates the mine from the Buccaneer Archipelago, they call it, we needed to put forward an $18 million environmental bond, which is basically $18 million in cash just to sort of underwrite the environmental risk, plus receivers and liquidators and lawyers, they've all had to be paid over the last few years. So it hasn't been a cheap exercise at all.
Indeed.
But it's a long-term project.
And that's the thing, right? And I guess that kind of leads me to my next question. You've joined us on the show before and we've spoken about one Clive F. Palmer. Obviously, his case against the hard border in WA is currently before the High Court over in Canberra. What do you make about this? He's still chasing his royalties from WA. Have you heard any updates in the legal community about where his cases could fall?
Well, I don't have any updates in relation to the claim for royalties. I know that he was obviously successful in having that arbitration determined, and I think that there's been some sort of jurisdictional claims in terms of the legislation that was introduced in the state parliament to try and avoid him being able to bring any further claims. Mm-hmm. But in the case that's in Canberra at the moment, obviously the starting point is that the section 92 of the constitution provides that trade, commerce and intercourse between the states be absolutely free. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Palmer's saying, well, it isn't. I couldn't get into the state. But then what the High Court's previously said on that section is that provided that the restrictions on travel between the states is necessary and proportionate, then it can be allowed. And so that's really what the test is. The state saying, well, we haven't breached Section 92, but even if we had, it's been necessary and proportionate. Mm. I think Mr. Palmer's, he bears the onus of proof today in showing that there's been a breach. Yeah. I think he's got a very tough task. He's obviously got QCs and a big legal team up there in Canberra.
Mate, he's got more silk than a Colette Dinigan show. That's what he's got.
Yeah, well, I have to remember that one. I haven't heard that line before, but yeah, I've got no doubt. So, so he's got that. But I've got a funny feeling, you know, he's coming up against the Solicitor General of Western Australia, who's also a silk. So, he in the federal court previously, where they had one of the sort of smaller fights in this legal battle, mm-hmm. Occur, you know, the state of Western Australia came up better than Mr. Palmer.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. But congratulations on everything up at Cockatoo Island. It's fantastic to see members of the legal fraternity working together with everyone up north to see the future of the state really kick off. Managing Director at Pragma Lawyers, Aaron McDonald, thank you so very much for your time.
Cheers, Janice. See ya.